All right, good evening. I will call this evening's Planning Commission meeting to order. Can I have a roll call, please?
Chair Maravilla?
Here.
Vice Chair Berlin?
Here.
Commissioner Buchanan?
Here.
Commissioner Roof?
Here.
Commissioner Sackerson?
Here.
Thank you. If everyone can rise and join us in a flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Roof. The next item on the agenda is our agenda review. Does anyone want to move around the items on the agenda tonight? No. Okay. That leads us to item number 5, which is our community comments and suggestions item. This public comment period is an invitation to members of the community to present issues, thoughts, or suggestions on matters that are not scheduled on the agenda tonight. Comments should be limited to those matters that are within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission. And if you are on Zoom, you can use the raise hand feature to indicate your desire to provide public comment tonight. Is there anyone in the room that would like to provide public comment? Just please come on up. No takers in the room? Okay. Can I see if anyone online would like to provide public comment? Excuse me.
If any member of the public on Zoom would like to speak, please raise your hand. Madam Chair, there are no raised hands.
Thank you. With that, I will close the public comment period, and we'll move on to item number 6 on our agenda, which is written communications. I saw one thing come through this afternoon-ish. Was there anything else that we needed to have?
No, just the one supplemental memo for item 8A tonight.
Great. Thank you so much. Item number 7 is our consent agenda, which consists of the approval of minutes of our last meeting. Is there any questions or comments from commissioners? No. Is there any public comment on this item in the room? No. Is there anyone online that would like to make comment?
If any member of the public on Zoom would like to speak, please raise your hand. Madam Chair, there are no raised hands.
Thank you. I will close the comment on that, and do I have a motion for the consent agenda?
I will move to approve the minutes of the November 21st meeting.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Thank you. Can I have a vote, please?
Yes. Commissioner Sackerson?
Yes.
Commissioner Roof?
Yes.
Chair Maravilla?
Yes.
Vice Chair Berlin?
I'm abstaining. I wasn't here.
And Commissioner Buchanan?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. We'll move on to item 8A, which is our public hearing items. 8A is the consideration of appeal case 23-001, appeal of plot plan review 23-034 for the establishment of a parklet at 114 West Branch Street. Excuse me, I can't talk tonight for some reason. Do we have a staff report on this item?
We do. Thank you, Chair Maravilla, Planning Commissioners, members of the public. Tonight, I will be giving a presentation regarding appeal case number 23-001 regarding the two-space parklet at Rory's Artisanal Creamery at 114 West Branch Street. So in terms of some background, our permanent parklet program was first introduced to the public by the City Council on September 27th of last year. That was then adopted at the subsequent meeting on October 11th. And then 1 month later on November 11th of 2022, the permanent parklet program became effective. And the requirements and performance standards of the permanent parklet program can be found in Arroyo Grande Municipal Code Section 16.52.250. And then some background on this particular application that we'll be talking about tonight, which is Plot Plan Review 23-034, was originally submitted by Rory's on October 16th. And after making the required findings, the Community Development Director approved the application on October 27th. The application approval was then reported to the Planning Commission, and an appeal was received on November 8th. So taking a look at the basis of the appeal was six main points, and I'll go through those. First, which is Rory's dining room usage, the availability of parking, notification of the permit approval, ADA parking on Brand Street, truck traffic, and vehicle collisions. So starting out, I wanted to let everyone know that the parklet program comes with a number of performance standards that must be met in order for an application to be approved. The standards ensure conformance with the character of the village, both from a safety perspective, but also from an aesthetic perspective, requiring them to be consistent with the village design guidelines for their furniture and all the components. The performance standards also contain a maximum length for each parklet or combined parklet with required buffers between any two parklets. The code section also requires that the applicants or the business owner reimburse the city for the safety barriers, the parking spaces, and also pay monthly permit fees for inspection of those parklets to ensure that they aren't impacting stormwater conveyance and all of those other important things that we use our roads for. So next I'll go through the 6 points in the appeal. Specifically, the first point here is that Rory's was not utilizing all of their indoor floor space before applying for a parklet application. And so the Rio Grande Municipal Code section that I cited before and the parklet performance standards do not require that a business show evidence of full utilization of their internal square footage before being approved for a parklet. And specifically, that parklets are available for any food service business here in the village. And so in staff's belief, this is not justification for a successful appeal here. I'll move on to the next point in the appeal was regarding the availability of parking, specifically on Branch Street. The parklet regulations that we have adopted by the City Council do not require that businesses show evidence of having off-street parking availability before being approved for a parklet. And furthermore, any of the spaces that would be lost as part of this parklet program were previously assigned to the public in general and not to any particular business or user. And so staff also feels that the parking that's being lost here in the parklet program was considered during the development of the parklet program. Next, I'll go into a little bit more about the way that these types of permits are, the public receives notification about them. And so for a parklet to be approved, they are required to obtain a minor use permit, specifically a plot plan review. And so those types of permits are approved by the community development director and are reported to the planning commission. You'll see that there's three such notifications on tonight's agenda, but essentially that notification is the way that the public and the planning commission and the city council is made aware of community development director's approvals. The code specifically does not require direct noticing to neighbors or property owners adjacent to a project. And so with this particular approval, the notification was provided, I'm sorry, that should say November 21st, the November 21st Planning Commission agenda, which was our most recent one. And so with this particular project, all of the required notifications were met. And so based on this, staff does not feel there was any deficiency in terms of the notification of approval. The next point in the appeal was regarding ADA parking on Branch Street. And so the appellant mentioned that the loss of ADA parking on Branch Street could be problematic for a number of businesses. And while the city agrees that ADA parking is important, there are not currently any ADA compliant spaces on Branch Street. And so because of that, we are not losing any ADA parking spaces whatsoever. I will point out that the nearest ADA parking spaces are just to the north and south of Branch Street in our public parking lots. The next point mentioned in the appeal was regarding truck and agricultural traffic on Branch Street. So in the staff report, there was a little bit of a history on State Route 227 and the fact that we have been receiving truck and agricultural traffic for about 90 years now. And even since July of 2020, we have been able to see sort of how the parklets can impact traffic in the village. One of the primary focuses during the development of the parklet program was to prioritize safety of businesses and the users inside of the parklets. We had several meetings with all of our different advisory bodies regarding the appearance of those barriers, but really the main point was to focus on safety and the ability for these barriers to stop a vehicle. And so we chose ones that were consistent with Caltrans standards, able to stop a fully weighted truck, and also preserve safety of the parklet users. And so I'd say that during the entire process here in the development of the parklet program and then through the evaluations of each of our applications, we have evaluated potential impacts on our truck routes and safety of anyone inside of the parklets. And we feel that performance standard number 10 specifically, which requires that safety barriers be used for each of the parklets, sort of mitigates this particular issue. And that sort of dovetails into the next issue, which was regarding vehicle collisions. And so I reached out to our Rio Grande Police Department and was told that there was zero collisions reported to the police department since the parklets were first installed. I would say that it was pretty apparent that we had at least one side swipe on one of the temporary parklets. You could see the tire marks. But with that said, we had zero collisions reported to the police department. So with that said, staff believes that the appeal issues that have been raised tonight are important to consider, but have been mitigated through the performance standards that were adopted with the permanent parklet program. And so with that, I will happily take any questions from members of the Planning Commission.
Thank you. I'll start down here. Is there any questions from my fellow commissioners, Commissioner Buchanan?
My only question is related to accessible parking, handicap parking. I think there might be a few spots in the public lots. Is that right? And have you ever received any feedback around how those lots are designed or any difficulty for users of those spaces crossing the crosswalks? Mm. Any other accessibility concerns getting to places they need to get to in the village?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that there's a whole host of accessibility issues in the village just with getting into stores. But to start, the ADA parking that we have is in Olihan Alley, just south of Branch Street. And we have a number of spaces in that parking lot. And then we also have parking in the Car Corral, which is just, I guess you'd say, near Old Village Grill. And then behind this building here, we also have more accessible parking. And so depending on where you're going, that can lead to a fairly long pathway, but there is an accessible path of travel from that parking lot to the public way and onto Branch Street.
Great, thanks. I don't have any other questions.
Thank you. Commissioner Berlin?
Yeah, thanks for that report, Patrick. So in reviewing what you just gave in the staff report and on your slides, so there's going to be a regular review, annual review of the parklets for a number of things. One of them, performance standards, safety. You mentioned, road impacts, be it drainage issues, things like that. So as they were set up before, these are all different. They're more fortified, if my understanding is right. My question is, if there is a concern, the time to voice that would be during that review process, if something shows itself to be a problem?
Certainly, yeah. We'll be happy to take any feedback from the public, but we'll be doing biweekly inspections of the parklets, especially through the winter, to ensure that water can be passed through them without clogging, causing other flooding issues. So our goal is going to be to do a quick inspection every 2 weeks, and as problems come up, to work with the business owners to address them. So yes.
Okay. And I didn't pull up the performance, all of the different criteria that there are, but there's a number of things you're looking at, not just drainage, but the main thing, or one of them, number 10, is public safety. Is that right?
Yeah, so there's a number of requirements related to the size of the parklets, where they can be located, mm-hmm. And then there's a whole host of architectural-related performance standards, so the requirements to be consistent with the village design guidelines, be reviewed by the ARC, that sort of thing. And then the size of them, the overall length, buffer distance between them, all that stuff is covered in there.
Okay, and just to further reinforce, the latest version of the parklets that we have, quite a bit of research went into the material selection. Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah. We had probably at least 3 meetings with the ARC to review the barriers, the shapes, and the configuration, whether there's gaps, planters on the ends. We reviewed all that stuff with them a couple of different times, and yeah, those are all public meetings as well.
Yeah, okay, and again, my primary focus, based on some of what I'm hearing in the appeal is around safety. Aesthetics is important, of course, as well, but safety and conforming to traffic standards.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I got.
Thank you. Commissioner Roof?
Thanks. I want to thank the staff for the really comprehensive report. The last meeting, I know we had some issues raised, and I see them all really laid out here. I did want to ask about the buffers. When we were talking in the last meeting, there's the one at Humdinger, and then this would be next to, is there a buffer in between those two, or is there parking in between, or can you refresh my memory on that?
Yeah, so the way that, obviously pending the outcome of this appeal hearing, but any place where we have a combined parklet, it'll physically be one large square, and however they choose to delineate them internally, that's up to them, but it'll be essentially one external barrier.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you. That makes sense.
And then, yeah, just to add to that, so then their maximum length for a combined parklet is going to be 80 feet, so then it couldn't be another business added to that, and any other parklets would have to be at least 5 spaces in each direction away from them.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful.
Thank you. Commissioner Sackerson?
I just wanted a little bit of clarification, and I think we have a few different time periods where this could have happened, but this appeal brings up a couple points that are, I think, important to me, which is the ability to be notified with plenty of notice and appeal. So I want to make sure that I understand it correctly. As you guys explained in the staff report, there were a series of meetings with planning and city council where the public was welcome to come and voice concerns and give opinions on this, correct, including all the business owners?
Yeah, we had, I'd say, 5 meetings with the city council, 3 of which were publicly noted public hearings, and then also 1 public hearing with the planning commission as well.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you. My only question is, and you guys might not know this, but regarding ADA parking on street, does that have to conform to all the standards of like ADA parking in like a parking lot, where the clearance around everything, like I would assume it'd have to be the same. Is that correct?
It does, yes. And that's what sort of makes on street ADA parking a challenge. You've already got the curb that you'd have to navigate, and obviously there isn't room for a van space. Right. So that's what makes it a bit of a challenge.
Yeah. My only thought with it was, I know in some places, like just from, working at Cal Poly, for example, like some of the 30-minute spots there, you could technically park there with like a, and your placard or whatnot for people that might not be in a wheelchair but still have mobility issues or, moving from one direction to another, other issues like that. I don't know if there's any thought of putting in like a 30-minute spot and doing something similar, if that is even an option, if it would have to go through a whole ADA thing to be considered a spot. But I think it would be smart to kind of consider something like that on the village, at that particular end of the village, if it was possible, which I have no idea if it is or not.
Yeah, we can certainly investigate that opportunity with our engineering department and see if that's a possibility. I would say also that it's very likely, and we can confirm this with our police department, that anybody that has a handicap placard could still park in those time-limited spaces here.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the California Vehicle Code. So
yeah.
They could park there. I'm not sure if it provides the same amenities that they would need, but it is a possibility.
Yeah. I know it wouldn't satisfy all the ADA requirements, but at least give one spot that kind of stays open, for lack of a better term, with it. Okay, that was my only question on that. I'm sorry, I don't know all the specifics on that. If there's no other questions with the commissioners, I will turn it over to public comment now. So if you have a comment on this item, please come up and share. And please introduce yourself while doing so too.
Good evening. I'm Brenda Auer. I'm the one that filed the appeal. First of all, I want to ask, just compliment you guys on helping me learn the process here. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And to address, is it Catherine? I'm not really late to the game. I just didn't know. And yeah, and so my business wasn't notified. I've been there over 15 years. There's actually 3 female businesses that this is going to affect: the Village Cafe, the Green Room, Posies and my business. We're all women business owners. We're real busy. You know, we have not only a business, but families. And I'm not, this isn't my thing. I don't want to come and speak to a bunch of people without, you know, maybe it's going having a glass of wine. But the truth is, I don't want to be here. But it's real important. We pay for parking with my business license. I paid for it for years. I have two parking spots behind my office. But it's up a long hill. My elderly clients can't go there. So I said, why am I paying for parking? Well, everybody has to. Well, now four of my valuable parking spots have been taken away or are going to be. You already presented why I've appealed this. But we have a lot of elderly clients, and we need that parking. We pay a high dollar for our rent for where we are because we're street front, and our street front parking is very valuable to us. I do want to ask if you've, when you did the safety, if anybody did a truck count, how many trucks, how many motorhomes, how many boats go through? Because we're not like Solvang. We're not like Santa Barbara. We are a major state route with, you know, farming equipment. Literally, tractors go down my road, roosters, tractors, lots of semis. One farmer told me he has between 60 and 70 semis a day come down that road in the season. That's a lot of trucks. I drive a big truck. So maybe I'm a little overconscious about how small the road is. I mean, it's just your average Ford truck, but, you know, it's not your little Prius. I just think this is really important. And if nothing else, I think it's really important that the business owners be notified timely that, hey, you know, I was had to give labels. Well, the letters all went to my property owners. I don't own the property, but I've been paying the rent there for 15 years. It's something that's important to me. I love our village. Today was a beautiful day, and the lights are shining bright from the Christmas ornaments. We're really blessed. So I just want you to know, this is not something I want to do. If you can tell, it makes me nervous. But I feel like I need to speak up for my fellow business owners, you know. There's four of us that this is really affecting. So I think that's about it. I do have to say something. My voice is being heard. So I've seen those tire tracks. I've seen the motorhomes lose their mirrors. Maybe they're not reporting it, but I've seen it. And there's already no room for the bicycles. I don't know how they're going to maneuver a parklet I don't know. Where are the bicycles going to go? Thank God I don't ride one. Okay, thank you for your time. And I want you to know, mean to waste anybody's energy. You made a great presentation. But I just felt it was important that we speak up. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Is there anyone else that would like to make a public comment this evening?
Hello, my name's Alexandria Davis. I am someone who bikes down to Branch Street about once a week. I'm also someone who has a mom who can't walk very far. Something that I've come across that I don't know too much about is that sometimes you can park in paid parking spaces with a handicap placard without paying. So that might be a good thing to look into if we're wanting to reduce the number of times those parking spaces are all taken. But the other thing is, I'm bringing it up because there was a question about bikes. Honestly, I just bike in the street. Biking in the parking spaces wouldn't work. There are usually cars there, and then I'd be weaving in and out of traffic, and that would not be good. You do not want to be trying to change into a lane where the slow speed of the other vehicles is like twice your fast speed. One other thing I wanted to put in for public awareness. I know that not everyone is aware of the concept of induced demand, but Branch Street has been, in my experience, a very person-friendly street. So it makes sense that the changes that we want to see are ones that make it more person-friendly versus adjusting it to be more heavy vehicle-friendly, which is likely to attract more heavy vehicles. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Is there anyone else that would like to make comment in the room tonight?
Hello, my name's Judy Cicchetti, and I will say that I think the parklets look very nice, but Patrick had told me that, and I don't mean to single you out, that they would not impede, and I feel like Humdinger's is too close to that driveway to the west, and I also think Andrini's impedes on the other business, and I feel like if you put a parklet, another one in front of whatever that address is, then that just looks like it's going to be just one big parklet. I think the parklets, I think it's overdoing it by now. And then they probably are really strong. We'll have to see if a truck ever runs into them. And I don't think we will ever avoid trucks, you know, going through the village. They all go out to Tally. And buses, trucks, I ended up having to be off the center lane trying to turn into Car Corral because I'm sure there's enough room, but when you look to the right, you feel like there probably isn't. So I feel like some of the parklets are impeding. They cost a lot of money. I don't think the city will ever recoup their money from them. And I also wish that the city would buy some yellow paint for the lines. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the room this evening that would like to make public comment on this item? Okay. Is there anyone online that would like to make public comment on this item?
If any member of the public on Zoom would like to speak, please raise your hand. We have two speakers so far.
Thank you.
First up is Krista, followed by Denise Andrini. Krista, go ahead.
Hi, I am Krista Bandy. I own a store in the village, Hello Village, and I'm just here to support the parklet. You know, I have one, or I don't have one. Denise Andrini has one, and it actually helps our business. We have a lot of, you know, young families that come with kids, and so they have no problem parking in the back or finding other parking, even though we don't have parking directly in front sometimes. So really, I'm just here to say thank you because I do totally support them. And I think they look really nice the way that they're done now. And that's about it. I just wanted to say I'm in support of them.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Denise Andrini. Denise, please unmute your microphone. Denise, can you please unmute your microphone? Madam Chair, it looks like Denise is maybe having a bit of a problem.
Okay.
And she was the last speaker.
Okay. Well, we can come back to that particular to her if she fixes that problem in the next few minutes. I'll just gather some more comments or questions, and then we can come back to her. So let us know. Okay. With that, I will not technically close public comment then. We'll just wait to see if Denise can get on or not. But do I have any questions that might have arisen from or comments from my fellow commissioners?
Yeah. Could a member of staff clarify? I know there is some in-lieu fee policy regarding parking for businesses in the village. Can you clarify any specifics of that that might be relevant here? I don't believe that specifies, you know, location of said parking that businesses might be paying for, or property owners might be paying for. Where do those funds go, and what's the parking strategy for those funds?
Yeah, so there is a village parking assessment fee that's added to business owners' business licenses here in the village, and that money goes towards paying the property taxes for the car corral and the public parking lots that we have here in the village. So that's where those funds go. And then if I could, Chair, I'd like to maybe address one of the public comments about the Humdinger parking lot.
Yes, please.
Staff recognizes that that parklet is a little bit too close to that driveway approach, so our plan would be to move that by 4 feet, and that'll happen probably this week. So we did identify that being placed a little bit too close to the driveway approach there, so I just wanted to let people know we'll be addressing that.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Madam Chair, we have Denise and Drini back on.
Can Wonderful. We
give another chance?
Yes, please.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, we can.
I'm sorry. I'm in a location that's difficult to get through. First of all, I want to thank everybody for the time that you guys have even put into us having the parklets. I understand there's a discrepancy amongst some of the merchants who are pro or who would prefer not to have the parklets. Personally, I believe being a resident, and I grew up here, I think the parklets have added a nice feature to the cafe, to the village. In front of the cafe, somebody had mentioned that there's my parklet takes up extra room. It's actually almost the same storefront that I have exposure to the street. So I just want to reiterate that this brings business to the village. Like Krista said, people can sit in my parklet and see what's going on in all the businesses around me. So it does benefit all the other businesses if people are outside looking and seeing what other businesses are around instead of just walking up and down the street or just coming into my business and not getting the exposure. So the parklets, I believe, do help all of the businesses in the village. So I just want to tell you, I appreciate having it. I understand some of the concerns. I would love to talk to people if they want to talk more about having the parklets. I just see it as a real asset that we brought to the village.
Thank you.
Can I make one more statement?
Sure.
I forgot to tell you. That's how nervous I am.
Okay.
I was in Illinois for a week. I'm glad to be back on the Central Coast. So for the last week and a half, we've been getting petitions signed. We have 151 signatures from people all up and down the street from the beginning to the end that say that they don't want the parklets there, mainly now that they're in and they have an idea of what the permanents are going to be. I just thought that was real important that I say that, and my friends reminded me. So even though there was, four people that came to speak about this today, there's 151 that spoke loud to us. Everybody's afraid of you guys. I couldn't believe it. I'd ask people, business owners agreed with me, but they didn't want to get messed up with the city because they're afraid of y'all. You don't look scary to me.
But I'm not scary. Believe me.
It's a tough process for everybody.
I understand.
But thank you for letting me say that.
Absolutely. Did you want to give the petitions to us? Yeah, sure.
Make a difference?
If you would like to, give it to us, that's up to you.
Them. If you need proof, that's fine. But will it change your mind?
Well, are they all verified residents of Rio Grande?
There are people that use Branch Street. Whether they live in Rio Grande or not, they frequent from Last Chance Liquors.
Our customers.
The way down, and our customers from the meat market, they're all over.
Yeah, we can take them if you'd like,
okay.
If you want. Thank you.
Oh, there might be some empty ones in there. Let's not be deceiving.
No, that's fine. We won't judge you.
There is some, my friend.
Don't worry about it.
All right. Was there anyone else, before I close the public comment period, was there anyone else that did want to make an additional comment? Please come up.
Thank you, Brenda.
We're fine.
If you could wait till you get, no one can hear online unless you're in the microphone.
We're fine with the ones that are there now. I think they're wonderful and people can sit in them and enjoy, looking around and stuff. It's just that we have a lot of customers and you know, a lot of the other businesses, we're on a hill. So those elderly people, they just can't walk down that hill. And, you know, they say that, you know, there's nowhere to park. There's nowhere to park. And even to park across the street, you know, you take your life in your hands coming across. You're going to have to go to the intersection. That's a long way around. And you know, that there the alley parking is and over here, too. It's just, yeah, it's not customer friendly. And, you know, Posey's has been there for probably 30 years. And, you know, we're kind of an anchor store, I think. And so I think it's really important to, you know, keep our customers that have been coming for years and years and years. And so anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you.
I like the parklets. They're nice, but I just don't want all parklets because we need the parking.
Appreciate it. Okay. Thank you.
Brian Pedroia, can we get your name?
I'm so sorry.
My name is Chrissy Wickstrom.
Thank you. That was my fault. I should have asked that question.
Madam Chair, we have one more speaker on Zoom.
Yes, please.
Amanda Craner. Amanda, please unmute your microphone. Amanda Craner, you need to unmute your microphone. It'll be down at the bottom left of the screen. Madam Chair, it looks like we may have another person with some technical difficulties.
Is there any way that you can unmute the microphone for them?
No, I can send them a request to unmute, and that's what I've been doing.
Okay, got it. Okay, thank you. If they can do it in the next few minutes, then we can take their public comment. Was there anyone else in the room? No.
Can I ask a quick question while we're waiting? I was just wondering Commissioner Buchanan asked about the village assessment fee. What is that fee for businesses? Is it monthly or it's a yearly or how does that work?
It's an annual fee. Okay. And it's based on the number of employees in the business and that sort of thing.
Okay. And then to rent, they're renting the parking space and the barriers. Is that correct? Or no?
Yeah, for the parklet program. Sorry, right. I thought we were talking about the public parking lot.
No. And that's a monthly.
Correct. Yeah, okay. It's $100 per parking space and then $50 per parklet barrier. So
$100 per space and then $50 per each one of those segmented pieces.
Correct. And the reason why we chose that amount was based on approximately 5-year payoff period for those barriers.
Okay. So just to so I understand, within 5 years, the city's cost will be made whole.
Correct.
From the rental.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. And that matches with the amount that was budgeted and the amount that we purchased the barriers for. So that all came in under budget.
Awesome. Thank you.
Madam Chair, we have Amanda Craner back. Looks like she has unmuted herself.
Great. Thank you. Go ahead, Amanda.
Hi, you guys. Sorry about that. That was funky. Amanda Craner with Mule Bakery. Thank you for the parklet. We're stoked on it. Getting amazing feedback from the community. I'm not afraid of you guys. I am nervous speaking in public, but I'm not scared of you guys. So there's that. I just wanted to mention, we have elderly folks all day on our parklet throughout the day. It doesn't seem like it's, they're not being a parking space right in front of our store keeps them from visiting our shop and our parklet. I wanted to note that. We even have folks in wheelchairs. So just wanted to note that. Just wanted to also say that I am in support and in favor of Rory getting their parklet. It's been really sweet to see them filled up with faces from the community. And thank you. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Amanda.
All right.
Okay. Well, with that, I am going to close. Is there anyone else online? I'm sorry. I didn't ask that question.
No, that was the last speaker.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, can't see from here. With that, I'm going to close the public comment period and move on to any additional questions or comments from my fellow commissioners. I'll start down here with Commissioner Sackerson.
I have some thoughts. First up, I'm going to say thank you to Ms. Auer for your appeal, because regardless of how this ends up tonight, I think it was an invaluable opportunity that you created by filing this appeal to open up a dialogue at this meeting among planning, community development, the constituents, and property owners and business owners, and for us. I actually learned quite a bit, down to parking assessment fees. I wasn't aware, and that was my question too, is, oh, okay, well, if you pay parking fees as a business owner, where does that money go? So that was really helpful to learn that. I think it was helpful because Ms. Cicchetti, I think, I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name, you mentioned Humdinger's parklet protruding past where you thought was appropriate, and it was a perfect opportunity for staff to address it immediately and say, oh yeah, actually we do notice that, and it's going to be addressed. I think that all of these little moments are actually very helpful for us as a community as a whole to be able to have. So I appreciate that. I think that we're all a little bit better informed with how the space in the village is utilized, how the parking is utilized down to the bikers. Thank you, Alexandria, for giving your little comment on that as well. All of that being said, one of the things that I wanted to address, and I'm sorry, I think it was, I apologize, I don't have your name from Posey's. Yeah, Chrissy, thank you. I don't know if it was you or someone else who mentioned that you support the idea of parklets, but you just don't want it to be all parklets. I think that that's a valid statement. As I understand it, I believe it is capped at 14 spots total, correct, of the 61 available on the street?
It's actually not capped based on the number of parking spaces, but the buffer requirement is going to sort of have its own cap.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So is that about where it's going to be? Is about 14 or
spaces? Yeah, we're actually less than 14 now. So by installing the permanent parklets, we actually were able to shrink some of them into full parking spaces and not halves and quarters.
Okay.
And so we got probably 3 or 4 extra parking spaces back by doing that. Okay. And then one of our parklets decided not to reapply, and so we probably have 12 parking spaces right now.
Okay, so about a fifth-ish of the parking will be to parklets, but doesn't sound like much more. So again, that's very helpful. So thank you for all of that opportunity. All of that being said, I guess my thoughts are on this, that while all of these are important thoughts to have been made aware of for us, I feel like staff did a really good job of explaining and addressing each of the key points that, for me, lead to an understanding that with the municipal code and the ordinance being the way it is at this point up to the community development director, Brian Pedrotti, to make these decisions for these minor use permits. The theory is that as long as the code is being met and everything is to the standards and the applicant is agreeing to do the upkeep and pay the rent, that they're not violating anything per code. And as such, you know, our hands might be pretty much tied. Like, there's nothing to base approving an appeal on at the moment. But even if that's the case, I do want to say thank you for the opportunity to have this discussion. And thank you for facing your discomfort and coming and talking to us anyway, because I think dialogue is a good thing.
Thank you, Commissioner. Well said. Commissioner Roof?
Yeah, that was really eloquently put. Thank you, Commissioner Sackerson. I've been pondering this since I saw the appeal, and I really appreciated what Denise Andrini had to say, that while you're there in the parklet seeing all the businesses, it actually could be good for business and for our village. And that's when I took this role on. I thought, well, what do I want to do? I want to take our values as a community, see that brought to life. And I live right here in the village. So when I go up and down the street, I see like a level of vibrancy and togetherness and community. And that's like the kind of place I want to live in. And I think a lot of people in Arroyo Grande also want to. So I totally appreciate your comments and having this chance to have this dialogue, because I learned a lot tonight too. And as we move forward, having these times to come together, I think is really important. So I appreciate the opportunity to come here tonight and discuss it. And I'll close my.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Buchanan?
Yeah, so thanks to staff for the report here. It does appear that we followed policy here and that this parklet adheres to our adopted policy. So I think that more or less addresses the appeal case in specifics here. More generally, I think there's been a couple themes that we've, you know, as fellow commissioners have stated, have allowed to, we've been granted the opportunity to discuss here tonight. You know, one of is safety. Of course, we discuss ADA parking. I mean, it doesn't. We also address the issue of, you know, the amount of large trucks and traffic that come down the street. It really doesn't feel like on the street is a safe parking spot for ADA parking to begin with. You know, I understand that there are lots of shared uses for this tight piece of road. As someone who also bikes on this road, you know, I actually feel a little bit more comfortable with the parklet there, because now I'm just worried about staying in my lane, making sure drivers know that I have a right to the road and that drivers need to slow down and drive safely, because there is a lot of, you know, shared space in the village here on the road. So yes, safety is always a concern here with the tight space, but I think making more of a pedestrian and on-street presence for all road users actually improves safety in the long run. We saw some statistics, or lack of statistics, around accidents regarding the parklets here. So I think that was helpful to see on that piece of the conversation. You know, the third part of this conversation, and I think it's healthy for us to have, is the ongoing conversation about how we use our public space. You know, we can use that public space for free parking, or we can use it for outdoor dining that generates revenue in the form of, you know, taxes and commerce, or just, you know, for providing outdoor space for people to congregate to make that, you know, village atmosphere for dining, commerce, whatever you want to do down there, more welcoming to, you know, all people. You know, the city is providing a policy for how we use funds from businesses to provide the ongoing need for parking. So I think that's also addressed in our policy. And then, you know, as it relates to public space, you know, I take a little bit of exception to the idea of the petitions here. There are 18,000 people in this city. We all voted through free and fair elections for 5 council members. Those council members reviewed this policy multiple times over the course of many months and adopted this policy with our oversight here and other commission's oversights that were appointed by that elected city council. So I don't think it's I don't think there's much standing for, you know, a few signatures to come in and weigh on a policy that was, you know, adopted by the people through their elected representatives. So we've had this conversation through about public space. I anticipate that it will continue to go on, but, you know, public space will, and I think should, continue to evolve in the village. And I think the program itself is being adopted in a responsible way, and we've seen that here, and I think we'll continue to monitor it as staff outlined here. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Berlin?
Well, between Commissioner Sacrison and Commissioner Buchanan, thank you. You guys said a lot, but I really do want to emphasize the public process that we're going through. It's an exercise for all of us. And so thank you for stepping up, putting up the money and, you know, the courage to step forward and say, we don't feel this is right. And yet I still defer to what Kevin was just talking about, in the fact that this has not been a hastily thrown together process. This has been a slowly developing, evolving, lots of planning and evaluations, and it will continue to be that way. I'm really glad to see there's annual reviews of these parklets to make sure they are being, you know, complying with the needs that we have of our community from a safety standpoint in particular. And again, thank you, Mrs. Cicchetti, for pointing that out, and great response by the staff's already aware of some of that stuff. But without you reinforcing that, we don't, you know, the city doesn't know until somebody points that out. But statistically, again, thank you for a very thorough staff report. I think they took your legitimate points that you had in your appeal and addressed them one by one. That, and nobody's discounting what you brought forth, but they've done their homework. And so I stand pretty strongly that for now, these parklets are, as we heard from many people, including business owners, a wonderful experiment in how we're going to evolve. And I could see a day, I mean, people used to laugh, Mission Plaza in downtown San Luis, that used to be a through street. I would love to see the village be nothing but pedestrians, but reality is it's probably never going to happen. But there is something to be said about the atmosphere of having a pedestrian-friendly environment. I think Alexandria for bringing up the points about access for all people, bikers, handicapped people. So I really think it's a move in the right direction to making it a safe community place for pedestrians to visit and congregate and enjoy the outdoor space. I think we're going to see more of that as we look at Short Street and different things. So I'm excited to see how we're evolving downtown, not changing radically, but kind of slowly evolving to get more pedestrian output, because that's what really is the lifeblood of our community, to get people exposed to our cute little village that is a wonderful place to call home. So that's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Boulin. Wow, everyone has been really on point with your comments tonight, so I will not keep going with additional comments, but I do agree with everyone here this evening and what my fellow commissioners said. And I also thank you for bringing this to us. As they, everyone has said, it's good to have these conversations.
We'll pay attention and get to the party on time next time.
Please. I would, you know, not as part of this hearing item, but if there is some way to make a passenger loading zone or something like that on that end of the village, I think it's something that we could look at and consider, just for, you know, it is a long walk for a lot of elderly people. If there's something that we can do to accommodate that, I think it's worth it to look into.
There is one in front of the church.
For sure.
It's just not one in front of Humdinger's or the ice cream. And just so you know, it wasn't
It's not public comment right here. No, sorry about that. but yes, if we could look into that and see if something like that was feasible, that would be something that I would be in support of. But at this point in time, I will entertain a motion from one of my fellow commissioners. Or I'll make it myself.
All right. I will move to adopt the prepared resolution denying appeal case number 23-001 and approving plot plan review 23-034 to establish a two-space parklet in the right-of-way in front of 114 West Branch Street.
Thank you. I will second that motion. Can I have a vote, please?
Commissioner Sackerson?
Yes.
Chair Maravilla?
Yes.
Commissioner Buchanan?
Yes.
Commissioner Roof?
Yes.
Vice Chair Berlin?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion is passed. I appreciate everyone being here tonight and all of your input.
Thank you.
All right. With that, I will move on to item 9, which is nothing, our non-public hearing items. We don't have anything on the agenda. So I will move on to number 10, which is our notice of administrative items. Do I have any questions from my fellow commissioners on any of these items?
No.
Nope. Do I have any public comment on any of the items on number 10, the administrative items? No one in the room. Do I have anyone online?
If any member of the public on Zoom would like to speak, please raise your hand. Madam Chair, there are no raised hands.
Thank you. All right. Number 11 is commission communications. Do I have any correspondence or comments by fellow commissioners? Nope. Staff communications.
Thank you. Brian Pedrotti, Community Development Director. Just a couple. We want to let you know, or the public know, that community service grant applications have opened, and they'll be open until the 15th of December at 5 o'clock p.m. And so those are out there. We had the irrigated turf ordinance, which was adopted by the City Council. It'll be effective in 30 days, so on the 28th of December. And then I think we alluded to this last time, but there'll be a few more projects coming your way, just a handful, including ADUs and formula businesses. So look out for those in January. And that's all I have.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
So can we look ahead to the schedule? What do we do over the holiday, calendar-wise?
Good evening, Commission. Andrew Perez, Planning Manager. So our next scheduled meeting would be December 19th. Mm-hmm. At this time, we're unsure if we'll hold that meeting. Before we do, create an agenda, we'll make sure we have a quorum. And then the following meeting would be scheduled for January 2nd. We've discussed internally, it's looking like we will cancel that meeting, just due to staff absences the week prior when we would be putting together that agenda. So, and then beyond that, January 16th, I would anticipate having a meeting.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that question.
Yeah.
All right. With that, I believe we're done with our agenda, so I will adjourn this meeting at 6:56 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.